J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
How's your home, family? How's your home, family? How's your home, family? How is your whole family? How's your home?
How's your home?
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, November 11th, 2022. 92 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. How the hell does somebody get a box cutter on a plane these days? For God's sakes, they undress you. They x-ray you. They go through all your stuff by hand. You know, there's eyes on you all of the time. They're even doing, you know, personality characterizations and analysis of people. You know, if you got a certain way that you walk or you just look a certain way. They have people all over the airport trained to spot people who look like they might be up to no good. And you got all this going on. And the guy, here's how he did it, by the way. I looked it up. They said that he came on board with a box cutter, and the guy, the TSA guy, took the blade out of it and gave the box cutter back to him, but there were other blades somewhere in his luggage. So all he did is take another blade, put it in, and now he's got a functioning box cutter. And they say that TSA guy did not follow policy. Duh, you think? When I go into the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater for a concert, I have a little, one of those little Swiss Army knives, costs about, I don't know, $17, $18. You can buy them at, you know, Walmart or pretty much Target, any place. And it's just got a little scissors on it, and it's got a tiny little knife that can't be more than an inch and a half long, if that. It's got a little thing in there to pick your teeth and a little tweezers. And, you know, you've seen these, but not one of these big honking things. The thing is,
well, I got one over here. Let me measure. I'm going to measure it exactly. I have my ruler here, so let me go and measure this thing.
So the whole knife itself is 2 1/4 inches long. The blade on the knife is 1.5 inches, all right? 1.5 inches. So I could, I'm sure I could really do some damage with that thing, right? So when I go into, if I forget And, you know, and I still have it on my little keychain. I have to go all the way back to the car and put it in there and then walk all the way back because they won't let you in with it. Same thing at Busch Stadium, you know. And there have been times when I have forgotten to take it off, and it's just impractical to go back to the car. So what I'll do is I'll take it off, and then when nobody's looking, I'll go hide it somewhere on the perimeter of the grounds. And then, of course, on the way out, I'll just stop and pick it up, which, of course, I forget about and never do, and I'm out a $20 Swiss Army knife again. I wasn't going to really talk about it because you're tired of hearing about my medical problems, but I was in the hospital again over the weekend with what we thought might have been some sort of intestinal blockage because I had one of those about 7 or 8 years ago, and I was having similar symptoms, and I got really freaked out. So I went in, and I spent the afternoon Saturday all morning. I lost complete track of what time it was because I went in so early. But I was in for about, I don't know, maybe 5 hours, turned out to be nothing, but same thing. I had to take the Swiss Army knife off, put it in a little bag, at least this time I remember to pick it up on the way out of the hospital. And not only did he get the box cutter on the plane, he's telling people, hey, I got a box cutter, I'm gonna slice people up. Do you know if that was me and I was on that plane and the guy said that, without asking any questions, I would just sucker punch him. I would just, you know, go, oh my God, what is that on the wing? Pow! Take him right out. Just take him right out. Can ask questions later. Well, caught them cats on the east side napping on Saturday morning with 6 inches of snow in a lot of places, 5 in others. But God sakes, talk about missing a forecast. Most of St. Louis, as you know, got almost nothing, but there was like a diagonal line that went from, you know, south of St. Louis down around Farmington and stuff like that, 45 degree angle up, cut right through Belleville and Cahokia and Columbia and all those places. 6 inches in Belleville. Jesus, I'm sitting here pushing the Schnucks panic aisle button and there's no podcast. I can't help you. Now, here's the problem. There's more snow coming. And as you probably already know, it is coming later in the day today, overnight and into tomorrow morning. And it's only going to be about an inch. But the problem is the ground is frozen and you got morning drive tomorrow. It's questionable as to whether or not they'll be in a position to treat the roads or at least treat them very well. And I suspect that tomorrow morning, if in fact we do get, it's probably only going to take an inch, which is what they say we're going to get in most places. That is going to be bedlam tomorrow morning. A real mess. Well, see, you know, you start putting up Christmas lights and Christmas decorations in friggin' July and, you know, screws up the universe and, you know, the universe says, look, all the Christmas decorations are going up. We must be late. Throw some snow on them. Oh, and it's official now. The Christmas TV commercials are back and the Christmas radio stations are on the air, so there's no turning back right now. It should be noted that Thanksgiving isn't until a week from this Thursday. Loudon Wainwright III said it. Suddenly it's Christmas right after Halloween. Forget about Thanksgiving. It's just a buffet in between. How did the Buffalo Bills lose that football game yesterday? How did that happen? Boy, there were some good games, though, in terms of excitement, with a couple of overtime games. And the Progressive Insurance commercial, if you saw it, it's a brand new one. You know, they do really, really funny stuff. And in this one, it's a couple arguing as to whether or not they packed something for their trip. I think it's life jackets. And so in this TV spot, one of the two of them, you know, they throw the red flag like they are challenging. They want to see a replay. So a referee comes running over with one of those big replay boxes and two sets of headphones. They're watching the replay as to whether or not the husband said that he was going to pack the life jackets. Absolutely hilarious. The National League Most Valuable Player is going to be announced on Thursday. Goldschmidt and Arenado are finalists. And even though Goldschmidt laid a big egg in the playoffs, it doesn't matter because the voting for the MVP is taken before the playoffs begin. So in other words, you are judged by the regular season performance. And, you know, Aaron Judge is going to win in the American League, but I think Goldschmidt's got an excellent chance of walking away with this thing. Did you get up yesterday morning and watch a football game from Germany? Can you imagine trying to explain the game of football to somebody who's never seen it. As I was watching the game yesterday morning, I was thinking to myself, if I was trying to explain specific aspects of the game, how would I explain to somebody when there's a punt and, you know, the receiver down at the other end of the field just lets the ball go bouncing into the end zone and nothing really happens? How would you explain why that is to somebody who doesn't know anything about football? And the coin toss at the beginning of the game, when one of the players says to the ref, "Can we have heads?" But the game is in Germany, so the referee says, "We will ask the questions! You are not humiliating your opponents." Hey guys, you'll really enjoy the halftime show. We got a big marching band and everything. We were hoping for the American Alex Jones. And Tom Brady's out there, and he was married to Giselle. Giselle's from Brazil. And, of course, we know that the Germans have a real comfortable relationship with Brazil, don't they? What is this, Tom Brady? Gallagher died over the weekend. He was 76. This guy didn't get enough credit for how funny he really was. It was all spectacle because people just basically sat there and waited and waited and waited for the big watermelon smashing scene at the end. But his jokes were really good and his timing was great. He was just funny to watch. I mean, people who showed up for those shows were pleasantly surprised by how funny his material was.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show, Graham.
Everybody's favorite watermelon squashing comedian, Gallagher.
Now I've changed the rules of baseball. I feel sorry for the catcher. He has to squat the whole time, and all we ever had to do was dig a hole knee deep behind home plate, and he could stand there. And I believe that it's not fair that the right-handed hitter has to run further than the left-handed hitter to get to first base. I think he should run to third.
I like them both. They make perfect sense.
I always make sense. The problem is the world is stupid, and so they're offended.
Worked with the guy, MC'd a couple of his shows, had him on the air many, many times. Pretty funny guy. He got really dark and ultra-conservative and sort of icky right towards the end of his career. His material was still funny, but the subject matter was like, hey, wait a minute. And he started losing people. I don't know what it is about aging men in this country. The older they get, the more intolerant of things that are not exactly the way they want them, they get. And women are like that too. Don't ever get caught behind an old lady trying to check out of anything. Of anything. It doesn't matter whether it's a department store or especially the grocery store where everything has been scanned, everything's in the bag, they get the bill, and then they reach in their purse for their checkbook and start writing, and you're like, oh, Jesus, God. And then they start disputing things that are on the tape. It's like, now, wait a minute. This was supposed to be 2-for-1. I'll pay for it, lady. Just move along. We're being told by people who study this stuff that we've got about nine years on this planet to turn things around. If at the end of the 9 years we have not reduced our carbon footprint and figured out some way to quit messing up the Earth's atmosphere, it will then be irreversible. And having lived in Houston for a year and a half, I can tell you, I think we're doomed because so many politicians and so many billionaires, everybody is on the take. Everything is under the table. You can see it. People even talk about it. And congressmen and senators have all been bought and sold by big oil and big gas, and it ain't going to change. And guess what? About the time we're all pushing up daisies, our kids and our grandkids are going to be living in 150-degree summers. And there are really, really stupid people in this country who think that just because it snows somewhere, that that is proof that climate change is a hoax. By the way, it was cold in Green Bay and Buffalo. And Buffalo was raining and snowing and the whole thing. Which, by the way, we say Green Bay, but we don't say Green Day. We say Green Day, but you wouldn't say Green Bay. You wouldn't call them the Green Bay Packers like you call the band Green Day. This is the sort of stuff that keeps me up at night. My daughter, who is now 13, has an unhealthy relationship with the movie Home Alone. First of all, she starts watching Christmas stuff and burning Christmas candles and hanging up decorations and stuff like that, again, in about July. She is the Christmas kid and wants to listen. She go past her room. Have a holly jolly Christmas. Honey, it's 93 degrees outside. Labor Day is 3 weeks away. Doesn't stop her. Doesn't stop her. She has now watched Home Alone so many times that she is picking up continuity mistakes. If you are familiar with the filmmaking process, on every film that is being made, there is a continuity director. It's usually a man or a woman standing there with a clipboard, and it's their job to make sure that all of the scenes match, because you're shooting scenes out of sequence, and if there's a clock up on the wall that says 4:15, but then you come back on Friday and shoot the remainder of the scene, and the clock now says it's noon, that would be a continuity error. And there, like I said, there's people whose job it is to make sure that that doesn't happen. Any movie you've seen over and over and over again, you spot things. In Saturday Night Fever, John Travolta comes walking into the disco. He's greeted by the same guy twice. Gene Siskel used to talk about that. You know, if you're wearing a scarf in one scene, and then the next scene there's no scarf, and then they cut back and you got the scarf again. That's the sort of stuff. So she has found issues with that. She found out that Kevin, when he calls 911, Macaulay Culkin gives the wrong address. He says this is like 616 or something instead of 619, you know, something like that. So she spotted that. And there's a couple of other things in the movie, too. She wants to go to Chicago just to go there and see the house, which is a real house in a real neighborhood. But the inside of the house, that was a movie set. So she said, well, what's it like inside? I have no idea. I've never been inside the house. You'd probably be disappointed because you go knock on the door and try to look in, and you wouldn't see anything that looks familiar. I'm trying to get her to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. She's at the age now where the scene with Edie McClurg at the car rental place, she'll be able to handle that because she understands you're not supposed to talk like that, but she'll be okay to see it in the movie. So I'm trying to get her to watch that movie. And if I sit with her the entire 2 hours and watch the movie, she might do it. And like I said, don't ever watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles like on TBS or something like that, because all of the good stuff, all of the funny stuff is obviously edited out. You got to watch it in its original form. I'm back on Facebook this weekend, and so I will publish this thing in a couple of days when I'm back. I think I'm back on Friday, but I got my hands on a deleted scene from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. The first cut of that movie was over 4 hours long, and he had to take out all sorts of stuff, including there was a suggestion that Neil Page was having an affair, and that's why he wasn't home yet. And his wife became very suspicious, and all that had to be cut out of the movie. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you can read online about things that were changes that were made in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And next week, when we get closer to the actual holiday, I'll play back my conversation with Steve Martin, who talked about his experience working with John Candy. It's a really, really nice piece. And so we'll play that for you next week. I don't want to play it yet. We'll wait until next week. 7.6 billion with a B. $7.6 billion spent on political ads this year, and only one governor and no senators were voted out. So if you were an incumbent senator, it was like automatic that you got reelected, and only one governor got flipped. Republicans are turning on Trump. I can hardly believe what I'm seeing. We're talking about Fox. We're talking about the New York Post. Even though Donald Trump supposedly tomorrow is going to announce another run for the presidency, but there was a lot of this over the weekend.
So going into 2024, the Republicans are going to be looking for candidates who are focused on winning, not just making a point or settling a score. The populist movement is about ideas. It is not about any one person. If the voters conclude that you're putting your own ego or your own grudges ahead of what's good for the country, they're going to look elsewhere, period.
15 days to the midterms, and there's more and more signs of a red wave.
I really believe it's going to be a strong red wave for the Republicans.
It's going to be a big red wave.
Do you think the red wave is coming? I mean, like, winter is coming. It's a red wave coming.
You're of the mindset it's red wave.
Absolutely.
I think that this is going to be a big red wave.
It'll be a huge red wave, and it'll be a big blue wipeout.
They are very, very concerned about this, you know, red riptide, if not a red wave, if not a red tsunami.
I see not a red wave. I see a red tsunami.
We're not just going to see a red wave. We're going to see a red tsunami.
I thought that political conditions were such that would
suggest a red wave.
The big red wave that was predicted has not happened yet.
There wasn't a red wave. That is a searing indictment of the Republican Party. That is a searing indictment of the message that we have been sending to the voters. The Republican Party needs to do a really deep introspection look in the mirror right now, because this is an absolute disaster.
Definitely not a Republican wave, that's for darn sure.
Why did Dr. Oz lose? Well, it looks like, according to the exit polling, it's because Fetterman won.
That's the thing about Fox and Friends, and especially Steve Doocy, right there at the end, instant comedy.
Why did Dr. Oz lose? Well, it looks like, according to the exit polling, it's because Fetterman won.
It used to be that if you made a comment like that on a television news operation, on national TV, that was it. Your career was over. But somehow Steve Doocy marches on. And now, of course, his shit kid is working for Fox and trying to cause a ruckus all the time. And that greaseball Jesse Waters over at Fox News can't figure it out.
Single women are voting for Democrats by 30 points.
37.
37 points.
Yeah.
And in urban America, they're cleaning our clocks in the cities. Cleaning our clocks. I'm not saying anything nefarious is going on, but they are cleaning our clocks in the cities, and we're giving it away.
Well, great. Well, we were just talking about you. There was that New York Post headline that called you Trumpty Dumpty and said you had a great fall.
Well, I agree. I had a great fall. I had a great summer as well. And, you know, many people are saying I'll have a great winter, but I'm having a great fall, okay? The leaves are turning red. It's a red wave in terms of tree and with regard to leaf.
You're blaming both Sean Hannity and Melania for advising you to endorse Dr. Oz?
It's true. And let me tell you, it's very hard being in a fight with your soulmate and also Melania. But, you know, now all anyone wants to talk about is Ron DeSanctimonious. I know. I'm surprised I know that word, too. But Ron had it so easy.
Right. You said DeSantis has the advantage of sunshine.
That's right. Everyone goes to Florida for the sunshine. But look. I made Ron DeSantis, okay? He was going to lose until I sent FBI agents to go and fix his election.
Wait, you just admitted to what?
Don't you need to, like, walk your daughter down the aisle?
Missed it. Anyway, what are you guys talking about? What are you guys talking about? You see Fablemans?
Mr. President, I don't know how to tell you this, but we've moved on. We can't have you on the show anymore.
What did I do? Was it the insurrection?
No.
The impeachments?
No.
Blackmailing Ukraine?
No.
Charlottesville?
No.
Didn't make wall?
No.
The murder?
What?
Getting.
James Austin Johnson again. God, he's got Trump down. Man, does he have him down. And that was part of Saturday Night Live over the weekend with Dave Chappelle hosting. And, you know, of course, the world gets set on fire and then the show happens. And, you know, there's a little bit of stuff where some people who might be on the sensitive side may have thought that there was a bit of anti-Semitism, but there really wasn't. The jokes were funny. It was in good spirit. But it was especially funny when he was talking about Kanye.
But when he woke up, he went on Drink Champs again. This time, he was on one. He was mad about something. He said, I can say anti-Semitic things, and Adidas can't drop me. Now what? Adidas dropped that nigga immediately. Ironically, Adidas was founded by Nazis. And they were offended. I guess the students have passed the teacher.
All right, a couple more things, and then I got something really, really cool to play for you. Black Panther Wakanda Forever, $180 million over the weekend. Do not, no matter how much in the Christmas spirit you are and craving some sort of a nice Christmas movie, do not watch this Lindsay Lohan thing. It is some of the worst acting I have ever seen. It is an embarrassment. It's you just cringe and go, God, no, just anything but this. And Lindsay Lohan can be a good actress when she wants to be. Maybe she forgot how to act. I don't know. Monday Night Football tonight. This is going to be a bloodbath. The 8-0 Eagles from Philadelphia against the Washington Commanders, which are in a free fall right now. They're 4-5, and they got so many troubles with that franchise. Late night tonight, Ryan Reynolds and Jen Psaki on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Dana Carvey. John Oliver with Stephen Colbert. That's always good. Gail King on with Seth Meyers. And Trevor Noah's got Gabriel Iglesias. Kiki Palmer will make her Saturday Night Live debut on December 3rd with musical guest SZA. Taylor Swift has added 17 more dates to her tour, and she's gonna not come to St. Louis. Still, birthdays today from Saturday Night Live. Underrated. Vanessa Bayer, 41. She was great in Trainwreck, which I watched a little bit of over the weekend with Amy Schumer. Kurt Schilling, professional asshole, 56. Patrick Warburton, that would be your putty, on Seinfeld, 58. Laura San Giacomo from Sex, Wise, and Videotape, Pretty Woman, Just Shoot Me, she's 60 today. Condoleezza Rice, 68. Yanni, 68. And the King Charles, 74. All right, a couple of days ago, it was sometime last week, Jimmy Fallon had Cameron Crowe on the show. And these guys go back because in the movie Almost Famous, Jimmy Fallon had a cameo in that movie. He played the future manager of the band, and he had that speech to all the guys backstage, you know, saying, hey, look. He kept using the word respectfully, look, you know, you're getting charged for this, you're getting charged for that. You got to go to the next level and I can take you there. And so they have a history, Cameron Crowe and Jimmy Fallon. Well, the Almost Famous movie has been made into a Broadway play. It's getting great reviews and they're selling tickets like crazy. I so much want to hop on a plane and just, you know, blow like $2,000 and you know, because I mean, the ticket's going to be $300 easily. And I said I want to. I didn't say I was going to. Don't exactly got $2,000 just laying around, especially with Christmas coming. But if you are familiar with the movie, and I think everybody is, you'll recall the scene where they are on a plane and they're going to their next gig. Everybody's mad at everybody else and they're all just sort of sitting there. And all of a sudden, they break into a version of Elton John's Tiny Dancer. So you have the whole band, you have all the hangers-on, you've got Penny Lane, who was played by Kate Hudson in the movie. About halfway through what I'm about to play for you, you'll hear the Russell Hammond character, and not till the very end will you hear the 15-year-old kid who was the focus of the movie. If you have headphones, put them on. Keep in mind now, this is Broadway. It's Broadway, so it's a little different from a lot of other versions of this song, including the original, that you are familiar with. And you might want to pay particular attention to the crowd, which just bursts out into wild, unbridled applause multiple times during this performance. I got goosebumps because I know what you're about to hear from the Broadway production of Almost Famous.
Blue jean, baby, L.A. lady, seamstress for the band. You'll marry a music man. Ballerina, you must have seen her dancing in the sand, and now she's in.
Cheers! to go home.
You are home.
Podcast.